With Pastor Teacher Harry Reeder, this is In Perspective.
Jesus said this, I did not make man for the Sabbath. I made the Sabbath for the man. God has given us a gift that very few of us use, the Lord's Day. He makes extraordinary promises. And he said, I didn't make you to fill up the Lord's Day. I made the Lord's Day as a gift for you.
Welcome and stay with us as Dr. Harry Reeder applies the scriptures to the everyday events of life, that we might begin to view our existence from God's eternal perspective, that we might view all of life from a biblical perspective. Today on In Perspective, Harry brings us part two of the message entitled Simplicity Factor Number 3, The Organizing Divine Present for the Simple Life. We continue in our series, The Simplicity of the Christian Life. Some Christians believe that the fourth commandment regarding the Sabbath was strictly an Old Testament principle that applied exclusively to the Israelites under the Old Covenant. They believe this commandment has little or no bearing on the lives of New Testament believers. But the New Testament book of Hebrews declares that there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. And Jesus himself declared that he is the Lord of the Sabbath. What does the Word of God teach us about the significance, sanctity, and blessing of the Sabbath for our lives today? Let's rejoin Pastor Teacher Harry Reeder with part two of the message, Simplicity Factor Number 4, The Organizing Divine Present for the Simple Life.
Turn with me to Exodus 31. Exodus 31. The Lord gives some instructions about the Sabbath. Look at verse 12. And the Lord said to Moses, you are to speak to the people of Israel and say, above all, you shall keep my Sabbaths. Why? For this is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I, the Lord your God, sanctifies you. You shall keep the Sabbath because it is holy for you. Everyone who profanes it shall be put to death. Whoever does any work on it, that soul shall be cut off from among his people. 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of solemn rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath day shall be put to death. You think God takes this matter of the Sabbath pretty seriously? Now, understand that we move to the new covenant and how this is dealt with, but notice the seriousness with this that's called a sign of the covenant. Therefore, the people of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, observing the Sabbath throughout their generations as a covenant forever. It is a sign forever between me and the people of Israel that in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. He takes the creation Sabbath and the ceremonial Sabbath, and he says, now I want you to know that this is a sign that's pointing to a redemption, to a Savior, a covenant blessing to give you eternal rest. It's a sign for that purpose. Secondly, the second thing, the Sabbath is not only a sign for the Savior, but the Sabbath is a sign of salvation. Remember Matthew chapter 11? Come unto me, all of you that are what? Weary and heavy laden. I will give you what? Rest. The Lord of the Sabbath is our rest. It is in him that we rest and know that our salvation is sure. And the third thing about the ceremonial Sabbath is that it is a sign of the consummation, the eternal rest that we will enter into. The joy of the new heavens and the new earth, where we rest in the presence of the Lord, we with him and him with us for all eternity. Now, therefore, because it's a sign, there became a rather interesting development of the Sabbath. So there was a Sabbath day each week. Then there was a Sabbath year every 7 years. Then there was a Sabbath year of the Sabbath years every 50th year. So you'd have the Sabbath day, you'd have a Sabbath year, and then the Sabbath of the Sabbath years was the year of Jubilee, which was the 50th year. So when you got to the 49th year, the 49th and the 50th year were Jubilees. And one of the things that the people of Israel were to do to show God that they trusted in Him is on the Sabbath year, they were not to put the land to work, but they were to give it rest. And God said, I'll give you just, He said, and He gave them a picture of it. Remember before they got into the old covenant land, where were they? They're in the wilderness. Did God feed them? Yeah. He fed them with manna and with quail. And they would gather it what? 6 days. And on the 6 days, God would give them double so that they wouldn't gather on the Sabbath, but worship in His sight. Let me show you that. Take your Bibles and go back to Exodus chapter 16. Exodus chapter 16 and down to verse 17. And the people of Israel did so. They gathered, and they gathered as the Lord told them to gather. And some gathered more or less, but when they measured it with an omer, whoever gathered much had nothing left over. Whoever gathered little had no lack. Each of them gathered, et cetera, et cetera. There was gathering of this. Now look at verse 22. On the sixth day, they gathered twice as much, two omers each. And when all the leaders of the congregation came and told Moses, he said to them, this is what the Lord has commanded. Tomorrow is a day of solemn, sacred, reverent rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. Bake what you will bake and boil what you will boil, and all that is left over lay aside to be kept till the morning. So they laid it aside till the morning, as Moses commanded them, and it did not stink, and there were no worms in it. Moses said, eat it today, for today is a Sabbath to the Lord. Today you will not find it in the field. 6 days you shall gather it, but on the seventh day, which is a Sabbath, there will be none. And so that God showed them that. So what He did in the wilderness, He did in the land. And He says, labor 6 years, let it rest the seventh year. And by the way, when you get to the 50th year, the year of Jubilee, and everybody, everything, the land returns to owners, and slaves are redeemed and forgiven, and those who have put themselves into servitude, all of that that takes place, well, that means the land ends up laying fallow for 2 years. Now, there's amazing things that we can show about the practicality of that for the land. When the wild crops would grow up and then not be harvested, but put their nutrients back into the soil, we see how wise God is as an agronomist. But the thing He wanted His people to know is that this is the way you declare your trust in Me. Sabbath day, Sabbath year. Sabbath year, the Sabbath years. But Israel said no to the Sabbath. Now, I'm not going to bore you by taking you through 1 Kings, 2 Kings, 1 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles to show you, but they denied God's Sabbath documented for 70 Sabbath years. So what happened to Judah? The Babylonian captivity, how long? God will collect His Sabbath. You don't honor the Lord's Sabbath, He'll collect it. He'll collect it by you ending up on the 8th floor of UAB. He'll collect it by your having a shortened life. You can't break God's law without it breaking you. Say, now, Harry, are you sure about that? Yeah, I'm sure about it. God Himself said it. Take your Bibles, turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 36. Notice that the Sabbath has consequences, even the ceremonial Sabbath. Go to the end of Chronicles. Israel is instructed that they're going to be found in 70 years. Jeremiah had prophesied it. Look at verse 20 of 2 Chronicles 36. He took into exile in Babylon those who had escaped from the sword. 2 Chronicles chapter 36, last chapter. He took into exile in Babylon those who had escaped from the sword, and they became servants to him and to his sons in the establishment of the kingdom of Persia. Why? Why did God allow His people to be taken into captivity for 70 years to fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah until the land had enjoyed its Sabbaths? All the days that it lay desolate, it kept Sabbath to fulfill the 70 years. They had profaned the Lord and the land for 70 Sabbath years. So God takes them out and gives the land rest, for His people would not. There is a responsibility in the Sabbath. Now, if you would, what about what we mean by the Christian Sabbath? Well, let me just walk you through a couple of things. Jesus Christ comes into the world. And as he comes into the world, he kept Sabbath. It's very clear in the Bible. He kept the Sabbath. Now, he showed them all of your traditions that you've built up around the Sabbath are not valid. He said, here's the purpose of the Sabbath. And he made a point that the Sabbath, when you keep the Sabbath, that doesn't exclude works of ministry. That doesn't exclude works of mercy. That doesn't exclude works of kindness or works of necessity. If you pass somebody and it's on the Sabbath and their ox is in the ditch, what do? You go help them. You make sure that they're taken care of. You don't pass by, it's Sabbath, I'm not going to help you, I can't work today. No, works of necessity, works of mercy, works of kindness, works of ministry. I have to work on the Sabbath because this is something God has ordained to take place that day. And so while the Lord reclaims a biblical understanding of the Sabbath away from the unnecessary traditions and bondages that the Pharisees had put on it, he also affirms the Sabbath. But interestingly, he goes to the cross on the sixth day of the week. He's taken down before the Sabbath evening. He is then put in the grave, and he rests in the grave all of the Sabbath. Then he's risen, the Lord of the Sabbath, having given us our Sabbath rest and fulfilled the Sabbath sign purpose, as the Savior provides salvation that will take us into the rest of eternity. He then rises on the first day. And no time else does it say that ceremonial Sabbath is kept. But a new Sabbath is put into place. Look, if you would, in John chapter 19. John chapter 19, it stands, this Christian Sabbath then begins to stand on the basis first of the precept and practice of the Lord with his people. The Lord is risen on the first day of the week. Look at John chapter 20 and verse 1. Now, on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early while it was still dark, and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple. So the Lord is risen on what day? First day of the week. This Jesus Christ is risen, the Lord of the Sabbath, in whom we have our rest. Now, what does he do on that day? Well, slip down, if you would, with me to verse 19. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be you." And when they said this, he showed them his hands and his side, and the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. And Jesus said to them, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And when he said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of anyone, they are forgiven. If you withhold forgiveness from anyone, it is withheld." And there on the first day of the week, the day of the resurrection, this becomes the Lord's day. It is that day that the Lord is worshiped, and he gathers with his people even in that moment, and they worship him. And now they're prepared to go out and minister for him in the preaching of the gospel. Now, on this occasion, with this having been done, the Lord now does something else. Take your Bibles and look with me. By the way, not everybody was there. Who was missing? Thomas. I guess he was home watching the Super Bowl. I don't know. But he wasn't there, so he missed the blessing. I don't know who he was present with, but he wasn't present with the Lord, who comes among his gathered people when they gather in his name. Now look, verse 26, 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and now Thomas was with them. And although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them. Now the second first day, so you got 8 days later, that's back to the first day of the week. That's back to the commemoration of the resurrection. A pattern is being developed by the Lord in commanding the gathering of his people and gathering with his people, and as they worship him in order to serve him. And this begins to be the pattern. The apostles begin to carry out this pattern, so much so that they assume that churches that are planted will gather for worship on what day? The first day. Take your Bibles and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Look with me in verse 1. When do we bring our offerings? To worship. When was worship done? Look at verse 1. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I directed the churches of Galatia, so also I direct you. On the first day of every week, each of you is to put something aside and store it up as he may prosper, so that there will be no collecting when I come. When I arrive, I'll take these gifts and then I'll take them and give them. When did he expect, not only the church at Corinth, the churches in Galatia, wherever he wrote, when did he tell them to set aside the offerings in the act of worship? On the first day of the week. And by the time we get at the end of the century, about 105, this day, first day of the week, where God's people have gathered. Just think of this, folks. Just think of this. Since the resurrection of Jesus, Christians have assembled for over 2,000 years on the first day of the week. An unbroken chain. The Lord's Day. Not the Lord's hour, the Lord's day has been embraced by God's people for over 2,000 years. He is risen. That was their greeting when they would see one another. Grace, what was the thing Jesus said when he met on the first day? Peace. We pass the peace every Lord's Day morning, greeting one another, grace and peace. We then declare, he is risen. He is risen indeed. It is the day of the Lord. I am still in this created body. I need 6 and 1, 6 and 1. But I'm not under the ceremonial Sabbath. Let no man be a judge in terms of all of those. There's not a Sabbath day in terms of regulations, and there's not a Sabbath day that has all of these intricate regulations and a Sabbath year and a year of Jubilee. No, the ceremonial Sabbath is fulfilled in the Lord. But the creation Sabbath is now gathered up in the fulfillment of the ceremonial Sabbath, and it becomes the Lord's day for God's people because of Jesus Christ, who is the Lord. Stop and think. What did Adam do his first day? Wait a minute. Now hold it. Don't speak too quick. When was Adam created? In the creation week. So what was his first day? The Sabbath. Before he ever got to work, he drew close to the Lord on his first day. Now there's a second Adam. He is risen on what? The first day. And this becomes the Lord's day for all that are in Christ. So much so, if you don't mind, you can look it up in Revelation chapter 1. So much so that 100 years later, the apostle John is in worship and he says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Just common language by then. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And then the Lord gave him the message that you find in the book of Revelation. Well, let me just give you some practical helps here. I'm out of time. Let me just ask you to turn to Isaiah chapter 53. We'll conclude with this. Just some takeaways very quickly. Two takeaways, that's it. Isaiah 58. I love this passage. Look at verse 13. If you turn back your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and you call the Sabbath a delight. Remember what we said? We observe the Sabbath, not in drudgery, but a delight. And here's the foundation of the term, the day of the Lord. When you, on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, and the holy day of the Lord, the Lord's day, honorable. If you honor it, not going your own ways, or seeking your own pleasure, or talking idly, then you shall take delight in the Lord. He says, I'll use this as a means of grace in your life. And I don't merit grace. You're not meriting grace. It's a means of grace. Out of it, you will delight in the Lord, and I'll make you effective. I'll make you influential. I'll make you ride on the heights of the earth. I will feed you with the heritage of Jacob, your father. And let me tell you, I swear it. The mouth of the Lord has spoken. God takes an oath that it is a blessing. So two takeaways. Takeaway number one. Takeaway number one, why the Christian Sabbath? Because I'm still in creation. And I wasn't made to go all out 7 days with an hour to squeeze in at church. I was made 6 and 1. 6 and 1. And it's a day of celebration. And the day that I can consecrate. Folks, I know we're somewhere between 0 and 100% effective on this, but do you know what every Lord's Day is designed to do? Clay and me and Bruce and others, we get together and pray every Sunday. And what we ask the Lord is, Lord, can our morning worship be an instrument where God's people are coming out of 6 days of living for Jesus to praise God that morning from whom all blessings flow? We don't want any individual to stand out. We want God's people together, one heart, one voice, one mind, one soul. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Sunday night's not junior Sunday morning. It's not makeup time. Sunday night is Hebrews chapter 10. Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together, but draw together all the more. As you see the day approaching, encouraging one another, stimulating one another. So a Lord's Day evening is there to propel us into the next week with the joy of the Lord. Now, I know we're somewhere between 0 and 100% effective, and please don't rate me and us right now. But that's the idea. The Sabbath Psalms, come before the Lord with the morning and evening sacrifices of praise. We were created to function with Sabbath. We were to celebrate our redemption each Lord's Day. He is risen, and we consecrate ourselves to serve Him. Secondly, we don't have 9 commandments, we've got 10 commandments. The day has changed, but the commandment has not changed. The day has changed to commemorate that the sign is fulfilled. Can you just bear with me just, because I got to get this to you. You know, in the Old Covenant, there was circumcision, there was the Passover, and there was the Sabbath as signs in the Old Covenant, pointing to Jesus. Christ is our circumcision. Christ is our Passover. Christ is the Lord of the Sabbath. He fulfills all three of those signs. Now in the new covenant, He refurbishes them. Circumcision fulfilled in Christ, He now replaces with a bloodless sign, baptism, that points back to Him. The Passover is fulfilled in Christ, and He replaces it with a bloodless meal, the Lord's Supper, and it points back to Him. And the Sabbath, He's the Lord of the Sabbath, and we rest in Him. And now He's given us a Lord's Day in which we remember He is risen. He is risen. And so the day has changed, but the commandment is still a blessing for God's people. We, He is the Lord of the Sabbath. So if He's Lord of my life, then I give Him and set aside the Sabbath. The apostles gave us the precepts and the practices. The history of the church for over 2,000 years has acknowledged it. And the Sabbath becomes the tickler for eternity. There still awaits a Sabbath rest when we enter into eternity. The Christian Sabbath does all of those things in my life. How do I do the Sabbath? Well, here's just 3 thoughts. Rest from your daily labors. But it's not passivity. It's rest from your normal activity to the holy refreshment of worship. Worship in the Lord. Gather with your family and gather with the family of families, the people of God, the family of the Lord, to be refreshed, to praise God, and prepare to go forth and serve the Lord. So here is my rest. Here is my renewal. Here is my refreshment. I'm with the people of God. I praise Him and worship Him. Harry, do you have, you know, folks, we don't set up a new ceremonial Sabbath. Okay, you can only go to the following 3 restaurants in the following 3 hours. Here's the idea. Whatever detracts from worship and your rest and being with your family and the family of families, that's what I want to avoid. I'm not keeping from something, I'm moving to something. I want to move to personal rest, family growth, and gathering with God's people, and I want to move to worship to set the pattern for the next 6 days. Oh, call the Lord's Day a delight. A fellow took me aside one day He said, Pastor, could you help me? I'm too busy. I said, I'll be glad to help you. He said, can you help me with time management? I said, no, time manages itself. Nothing I can do about that. I can help you with personal management. He said, Pastor, there's three things. I said, what are they? He said, I'm tired. I'm too busy. I don't have time for the Lord. And I don't even see my family. And I said, well, bring your calendar. But don't bring your daily calendar. Bring your weekly calendar. Because all three things you just asked for, God designed a day for those. It's called the Sabbath, the day of the Lord. And if you can't get the week right, you won't get the days right. It is the day of the Lord. He is risen. He is risen indeed.
The people of God will experience great blessing when we recapture the significance, sanctity, and blessing of the Sabbath for our lives today. Now, if you would like to receive an audio copy of the entire message from which today's M Perspective was taken, write and request Simplicity Factor Number 4, The Organizing Divine Present for the Simple Life, or simply ask for message number 10356. Again, that's message number 10356. We do request $5 to underwrite the cost of the CD along with shipping and handling when you request today's message. Address your request to In Perspective, 2200 Briarwood Way, Birmingham, Alabama 35243. Email inperspective@briarwood.org. Do you know what the Bible has to say concerning the contemporary issues of our day? Do you know how to discuss issues such as Islam, sexuality, war, stem cell research with a Christian world and life perspective? Harry Reader's 14-message series entitled Contemporary Issues delves into these topics and other issues like abortion, capitalism, and euthanasia. Harry takes you to biblical passages that gives clarity and understanding so that you too will be able to discuss and understand the biblical perspective of these issues that dominate our headlines. If we are to be change agents for Christ in this world, it would be wise for us to know how to articulate the hot-button issues of our day. The entire 14-message series entitled Contemporary Issues is yours for $35. Order online by visiting briarwood.org/contemporary. That's briarwood.org/contemporary. There are a number of ways you can stay in touch with Harry Reader and In Perspective. The best way is by downloading the Briarwood app. Go to your favorite app store, type in Briarwood PCA. This app contains audio, video, and written resources that will encourage your growth in Christ. It's yours free of charge. Thanks for being with us today. Join us again next time as Harry takes us back into the Scriptures that we might learn to put all of life in biblical perspective.